The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
So we're talking to Michael Malice. He is the author of a book called Dear Reader, The Unauthorized Biography of Kim Jong-il. His family immigrated here from the Soviet Union in the 1970s. We'll get into that here in just a second. But finishing up a story on how people view, you know, the dear leader in North Korea. And you were talking about an obelisk?
Yeah, they have this tower, the Tower of the Juche idea. It's a stone tower in the capital city of Pyongyang. And when you read their literature and how they discuss how this tower was being built, you have all these architects and they came up with all these plans. And Kim Jong-il shows up and says, hey, why don't we make it the tallest tower in the world? And their jaws drop and they realize no one had ever considered this possibility before. And it's like, wait a minute, you guys are all brainstorming with the dear leader and no one even threw out we should make it the biggest one on earth. So according to all their literature, it's not that he's a god. He's literally the only competent person in the whole country. And that's very pernicious because think about it to this day. If that leader goes away, that means your whole nation goes to pot. Mm. So it's very important if the one guy who knows how to do anything in the country is keeping things together, you really want to make sure he stays in charge.
And Michael, they thought that the grandfather was actually working with the people, that he would be in the actual factories. And he wouldn't stop to eat or go to the bathroom. He would just keep working and he would turn one factory around. And then the dear leader would get into another car and he'd race to another factory and he was working there. I mean, they actually believed that.
Well, it's kind of true. They have something called field guidance. And if you look in their newspapers, it's photographs of Kim Jong-il at one factory one day and the next day he's at a school. So when I'm reading all the propaganda, the stories are mind-numbing because there's a glass factory. There's a problem. No one knows what to do. Kim Jong-il shows up. He has an extremely obvious solution. Everyone is shocked and amazed. The next day, we got a problem at the cornflake factory. Gee, I wonder what's going to happen there. So, you know, trying to make it into a funny, interesting story was a lot of work on my part because what's really dark about their literature is other human beings and other countries don't exist. So it'll say something like, during the 70s, the great leader Kim Il-sung went to a European country to attend the funeral of its president. It doesn't say which country. It doesn't say who. No one else has names in most of these stories other than Kim Jong-il and Kim Il-sung. And they started even recently taking on a biblical bent by having everything the leaders say in boldface, in the same way Jesus' words are in red in the Bible, and their names are in a bigger font than the rest of the text.
Can you tell me because there's a lot of bizarre things that go on with North Korea that I don't understand, yeah. But let me just say two words to you. Dennis Rodman.
Oh, yes. I mean, Dennis Rodman, the hatred I have for him and what he is doing, he was, and I don't care how drunk or stupid he is or crazy, he was on some Sunday morning show and they asked him, how are you palling around with someone who has concentration camps? And he literally said, well, we have prisons. What's the difference?
Oh my gosh.
Why don't you go to those prisons and go to those camps and take a poll and see who wants to switch places and you'll have your answer. So to hand wave that away, to me, is unconscionable.
What do you think it is? Is it money? Why is Kim Jong Un interested in him? I mean, the rest of the world isn't interested in him.
Because how many celebrities are going to be his friend? You know what I mean? First of all, he gets to pretend to his population that everyone on earth thinks I'm awesome. They don't know who Dennis Rodman is, but he can easily tell them this is the greatest basketball player of all time. And he's an American coming to North Korea to praise the leader. You know, that says something else. So these are two aspects that are used to glorify the regime. Plus, I'm sure it makes Kim Jong-un look a lot smarter by comparison, right? And a lot saner.
So you're doing this, I gather, because of you're kind of picking up the torch where your parents kind of left off in some ways. Your parents and you for a couple of years lived in the former Soviet Union and you right. saw persecution, you saw, you know, concentration camps, you're Jewish, you saw history. I imagine right. that's where this is coming from.
Oh, absolutely. Because when I would look at the reports, the news, and people treating it like a carnival, and, you know, in high school, we ask ourselves, how do we let the Holocaust happen? People don't even talk about the gulags from the Soviet Union, which preceded the German concentration camps and were around for a lot longer. And again, to focus on Kim Jong-il's golf score, I said, I'm going to do something about, I'm going to at least try to do something once and for all, because yeah, you can write books that are fun and entertaining, but at a certain point you're like, I put on this earth, let me see if I can move the needle a little bit. Because if we have it pretty good in this country, Glenn, if I move the needle in America, it's not going to make much of a difference. But if I'm moving the needle even a little bit in North Korea, this could actually be saving a lot of lives.
Tell me about your parents' experience in the Soviet Union.
It was awful. There's so many things that were put into my head that I didn't realize were put in there, and that is different from how Americans were raised. For example, I had a buddy staying in my house. I went to the gym, and to get into my apartment building, there's no buzzer. Someone has to let you in. And I come back, and he said, oh, there was someone at the door looking for whatever, Jimmy, and I sent him on his way. And I looked at him, and I realized if I was staying in someone's house, it wouldn't even enter my head to answer the door. Like, that's not how Russians think. If there's a knock on the door, it's just not even an option. It doesn't compute, because it's just, there's so much lack of trust. And the other thing, the Google Doc very much was a Soviet kind of story, because I was always raised to always be aware of who has power over you and realize they might exercise that power for completely absurd reasons. And you have to be conscious of that all the time. The idea that people are going to play fair with you when they're stronger than you is an absurdity in the Soviet psychology.
So, Michael, I went over to Poland. I took my family 4 years ago, went to Auschwitz, wanted my kids to see, I wanted them to see Israel, with the first stop being Auschwitz, so they knew why Israel was important in today's world. They know right. the history of Israel. But right. I want them to understand what it's like when a people don't have a home to call their own to right. be able to defend themselves. And right. And so we went over, and I talked to one of the Righteous Among the Nations, a sweet woman. And she was like 16 when she started saving Jews in the ghetto. And I asked her, the last thing I said to her was, Paulina, you know, if dark times come, I am looking to water the tree of righteousness in myself and my family and others.
Right.
How do we do that? And she said something so profound. And as each day goes by and I see things like this Google Doc thing, it just becomes stronger and stronger. She said, you misunderstand. The righteous didn't suddenly become righteous. They just refused to go over the cliff with yeah. the rest of humanity.
Yeah.
When you see the Google Docs and you see people cheering and saying we can't even have a reasonable conversation, we must deny things that we know are true. And
right.
we not only have to not say the things that we know are true, we must join the crowd and say the things we know are not true.
And if they had their druthers, this guy would not only not be working at Google, he'd never be working again.
Yes.
And for what? I mean, you judge people by their actions, not by their intent. And at the very least, first of all, no one's even claiming he had bad intentions.
No.
That's what's even more pernicious. It's not like he set out to write a document and, you know, it's like, I'm going to make people uncomfortable. This is his, let's suppose it's all wrong, but this is his scientific view. The kid went to Harvard.
And MIT.
And the thing is, yeah, this is no dummy. And you have people on Twitter, you know, who've never done anything with their lives, feeling free to cast judgment on his understanding of the scientific process and biology and psychology. So it's a very, very scary thing. However, I think there's a good side in the sense that thanks to social media and alternative forms of media, this is being exposed as soon as it happens. And back in the day, this kid could have been vanished and nothing, you'd never hear about him again. Remember, like Woodrow Wilson put Eugene V. Debs in jail.
Yep. Let me. Do you hate Woodrow
Wilson?
Oh, come
on. You can't kiss up to him by bringing up Woodrow Wilson.
Do you hate him as much as I do?
Fair.
Are you like a big time hater of Woodrow Wilson?
Oh, he's the worst. Oh, my gosh. I love you. He's the worst president of all time. Are you kidding?
Oh, I love you. So I have to tell you this just off the. I just got an email from somebody who is going to make a cartoon on Woodrow Wilson, the evil of Woodrow Wilson. It'll blow you away, who is thinking about doing this. And they said, will you please be the narrator? They said, the people involved completely disagree, but there is no one that hates Woodrow Wilson more than us, other than you. And I said, oh, my gosh, I will help you in every possible way to expose that monster. Yeah, he
and
was
a it's no coincidence he was a college university president.
Nope.
Because this is where I was on the show Kennedy on Fox Business, and I made the point. The university's job is to prepare young minds to be the shock troops for the progressive militia. They are there to program them and have them spread out like a virus and control the media and entertainment. What percent of journalists have gone to universities? And they're all being programmed by the evangelical left.
Michael, you just booked yourself a ticket for a third consecutive day on the air.
We could be best friends, Michael. Yeah, I don't know I don't know what else you believe, but you had me at Woodrow Wilson.
We'll have you back on Monday.
Yeah. Gonna be having dinner tomorrow and having a candlelight.
It's a real honor to talk to you, Michael, and thanks for all of the hard work and the hard thinking and heavy lifting on trying to get the words out in a way that people can consume them. Appreciate
thank you so much, Glenn.
Appreciate your work.
Thank you.
God bless. Michael Malice, the name of the book is Dear Reader, The Unauthorized Biography of Kim Jong-il. Why did you read that when it came out? This has been out for like 5 years. Why were you reading that?
I'm fascinated by dictators. And, you know, Kim Jong-un, in North Korea in particular, it's one of the places I desperately in my life want to go someday. Now, I'm obviously at this point, you go there and you die. So I really can't do it. But I would love to see it. It's an incredible place.
He won't go to Israel.
I know.
He won't go to Israel.
But he'd love to go to North Korea.
I'm also not going to North Korea because I think it's dangerous. I mean, I'd love to see Israel too, but I think there's...
I'm thinking about going to South Korea, not North Korea.
South Korea.
I'm thinking about going to the DMZ.
I would love to see that too. I mean, it's an incredible place. And that hotel that we talked about yesterday, the Hotel of Doom, is like legitimately like my favorite building and story of all time. Because, I mean, it is the ultimate failure of communism. When the Seoul, South Korea Olympics in 1988 were going on, they decided they wanted to show, because they knew the spotlight would be on South Korea, and they wanted to show they were better. So the communists tried, it was Kim Il-sung, tried to build the largest hotel in the world, got the structure built. It looks like this bizarre pyramid, almost like a rocket ship. It's 110 stories. They got through it.
Think of that. That's the World Trade Center.
Yeah, it's
in pyramid form.
In pyramid form. It is huge. Gorgeous. And it's this big concrete structure. They built it to the sky and then ran out of cash. The Soviet Union started to collapse. They ran out of cash, couldn't finish it. So over this city that was supposed to be the best city in the world, and how they were dominating the world and in the economy and everything else, is this giant unfinished disaster that they can't do anything with, but they also can't tear it down. Because it'd be completely unsafe to tear it down, and also really expensive to tear it down. So over the years, as they've sort of recovered a little bit, they've just plastered glass on the side of it. So it looks now kind of like a finished building. But there's video of it from the time where people, and they would never allow anyone to take pictures of it. They would never allow any people to film it. A couple of people smuggled out video of it. And it's like, you know, this collapsing disaster of a concrete structure, the ugliest building you've ever seen. It was supposed to have 10 rotating restaurants on the top of it. I mean, it was an incredible project, but the ultimate testimony of communism's failure, how this does not work. And I love it.
Who was going to pay for the bazillion-dollar rooms and the 10 revolving restaurants when no one has any money?
Yeah, I know.
It's
not
nuts.
A good idea.
Are we going to start maybe a GoFundMe page and have Stu go to North Korea?
Oh, I'll pay for that myself. I will pay for that myself.
I don't understand.